Welcome to the Coaching Skills for Leaders podcast with Jan Henderson and Neil Thubron. The purpose of the podcast is to help leaders anywhere develop their coaching skills to transform the lives of those they lead as well as their own. Welcome to another episode of Coaching Skills for Leaders. And in this episode, we thought we'd do something for those leaders out there who don't want to be great coaches. So we thought we'd put an episode together with 10 tips on how to be a really poor coach as a leader. So let's, I think we just kick off, shall we? Should we just kick
started? Absolutely. Yeah, we obviously, you know, we do want to cater for our audience, and we recognize that some people are just not that keen on coaching skills. So here's your episode. And we have our top 10 tips on how to be terrible in terms of your coaching skills in your leadership role. So my number one, Neil, is fail to set goals. Do not ever set any goals for yourself, for your team, for the business, for the specific job or task. Just, you know, don't bother setting any goals or objectives for the team. Just let them wander aimlessly in their roles without any clear direction or purpose.
That's a great tip. And I think I would enhance that by saying, and whatever you do, do not ask any of your team members or anyone that you interact with what their goals might be and what they'd like to achieve.
Oh, yeah. You can't do that. You do not want to care at all about the goals of your team members. Personal or professional.
Yeah, because being a leader without coaching skills, being not knowing where you're going, that's a real asset.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll get a long way in being a bad leader that way.
Okay, so tip number one, great tip. And you know, please, you know, make a note of these as we're going through them, because they're really going to help you be a poor coach as a leader. So I think the second one, I would say a top tip is when someone walks in your office, or when someone calls you up, ignore them. Don't pay any attention to them at all. Keep doing your email. You know, they're coming with a problem. For sure, they've got a problem, but you know, what you're doing is more important than what they're doing. You know, and if you do start talking to them, if you do ask them what they want, you know, why have they darkened your door? Then make sure that when you're interacting with them, you know, you're on your phone, because your messaging is going to be important. You're typing on your email, and you're kind of, you're acknowledging, you're listening, but you know, you're not really listening.
No, definitely. It has to go in one ear, out the other. And I would absolutely, Neil, with this tip, avoid eye contact at all cost.
Oh, that's a really good one. Avoid eye contact, even look out of the window when someone's talking to you. Potentially, I would say, if someone comes to you, don't ask them to sit down.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
It's
definitely
really
don't want to do that.
They feel uncomfortable in the environment that you're coming.
Totally. I mean, you know, you want to make sure that the person knows they're absolutely disturbing and disrupting you.
Yeah. Okay, so let's do tip three.
Yeah, mine leads right into that. I was going to say, you know, if you want to be really terrible as a leader in this area, I would absolutely recommend that you create a culture of fear, blame, and judgment. Yeah. And so whenever problems arise, then definitely focus on finding a team member that you can blame rather than finding a solution, and encourage a team culture where the members point fingers really at each other instead of fixing the issues. Yeah, you want to make sure that people always know that you are leading through intimidation and fear, that you know, people are at fault usually, and that failure is not acceptable.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point for the leaders that want to be poor coaches, is that judging is really important. Someone brings something to you, you need to judge them on what they brought, and judge. And I love the concept of judge them and turn them around and make sure they're blaming those other people in the team as well. It's not 100%. Their fault. It's not their fault. It's the team member. It's the support team. It could be their customer, but it's definitely not their fault. And it's definitely not my fault as a leader.
No, absolutely. And so you really want to create a culture where they don't even end up coming to you, because remember, they were disturbing to begin with. So you don't want them to come to you with problems, questions, or ideas. Just point fingers at each other and, you know, basically quabble all day long. That'd be the ideal.
Yeah. You're doing a great job then as a poor leader, and definitely not doing using coach skills as a leader. So number four, I think it's really key if you want to be great at this skill, is when someone tells you something, make sure you tell other people about it. So if someone shares with you a secret, or they share with you something that's concerning them, it's really important that you then share that with one of your colleagues or maybe their peers, so that, you know, it makes you look important because you've got that knowledge and it's given you the opportunity to share what someone's given with you. That's really important. I don't know what your thoughts are on that one.
Yeah, no, I think you mustn't create an environment of, you know, confidentiality or trust, right? So really, I would do it either way, right? Like, so either you want to take the secretive information or the kind of more vulnerable information from team members and disseminate it as widely as possible, maybe through like an email that goes out to everybody or some, you know, very impactful communicative way. Yeah. And you certainly, on the other hand, you want to just operate on this kind of needs to know basis. So don't tell people too much, right? You know, don't give them too much information, and only you decide where and when, you know, people would learn about the piece of information that might be relevant. But not everybody should know. You do not want to create transparency. You know what it's like, then there's just more trouble when everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It does go hand in glove with developing that skill of holding cards close to yourself, so you've got all the information.
100%.
So tip number five.
Yeah, I think another one would be really to make sure that your team is definitely not getting any work-life balance. So what I mean is, you do want to make sure that they are working 60 plus hours a week, that they have to eat during their lunch break, aka they don't have a break, because we all know that that ends up being much more than an hour usually, and we don't want to waste time. And so if you want to be really efficient at bad leadership, you want to make sure that you work your staff to the ground and make sure that they know that work comes first always. So when anybody comes and has some sort of personal issue, absolutely just say no and explain that they're here for the job, not for their personal life.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, because the mistake leaders who are good at coaching make is that when someone comes in and they've got a personal problem, or they might need some time away from the office, and maybe they need a little bit of listening to help them with, you know, that's just weak leadership. That's just weak leadership. It's poor productivity. You know, these people are paid to do a job, and it's important that they work the minimum, the hours expected, and you don't expect them to go home before you do anyway.
Absolutely no. They should be there before you and leave after you, for sure, because you're the boss. That's the whole point, right? Like, you worked your way up to that level. Now it's their time to pull their weight.
Okay. So
what else do you have?
Tip number six. Here we go.
Let's go.
Tip number six. It's really important, if you're going to be good at this skill of developing your non-coaching skills as a leader, is that you have favorites in your team. It's really important that when someone comes in and they are presenting an issue or concern, say, well, why can't you be more like John? They're great at what they do. You know, actually, let me get John's opinion on this. You know, it's important that you have favorites, and the people you really don't like, that you kind of ignore them. You don't find time for them. You make sure you don't listen to them or don't help them. You just focus on, you know, the people who are like you, who are playing up, you know, the ones that really want to spend time with you, they're the ones you want to spend time with.
100%. And the other ones should know that they're not on the list. I think, you know, when there's a good client coming in, as in like a good project, you definitely want to give that to the people that you know will deliver, the people that, you know, have good standards for, you know, of work that you trust, and only give it to your favorites, for sure. I mean, we all know everybody has favorites, so might as well be open about it.
Yeah, exactly. And why would you waste time on people that you don't like?
Exactly. And so, you know, you might need them a little bit to do the little tasks here and there, but I wouldn't put a lot of effort into training them or anything like that.
Yeah, 100%. Great, great tip. So tip number seven.
Number seven. I think number seven should be that you must make absolutely sure to have no passion or vision at all for the work that y'all are doing. So, you know, a great leader that is terrible at coaching, you want to make sure that you're displaying that you have no direction, really. Like, you don't care where this business goes, where the team goes. You know, I think you want to lead in a way that suggests that you're making time rather than rather than driving towards some compelling future that everybody can be excited about and on board. I think that's just a little bit, you know, a little bit new agey. You know, the whole visioning. So yeah. I feel like you want to just be down to the facts, bide your time, and just move through daily life as it is.
Yeah, people should know what they need to do. They don't need to, you know, the vision. Vision's something that, you know, is in the cloud somewhere. That's what people talk about in yoga retreats and stuff like that.
We don't
focus about that in the office. But I think this also is it's because it's similar to point number one about not having clear direction. But I think it enhances on that, which is you've got to be, if you want to be really good at this skill, you've got to be negative about anything that looks like it's could be a good idea. You've got to make sure you rip that idea down. You've got to make sure that we tried that before. that's not your lane. That's, you know, look, I'll do the thinking, you do the delivery. Don't come to me.
Perfect. Oh my God. Yes, that's exactly it. Stay in your lane. Don't think, just execute. Don't bring me your, you know, lofty blue sky thinking ideas. You want to make clear that you're not interested in getting excited, having passion, or having a major vision. You know, we don't need to know the why every single day.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think that's a really good enhancement of that. You know, don't know where you're going, but make sure if someone does come up with some positive ideas about how to, you rip them down fast. You don't let
exactly.
So then tip number eight. I've got a long list here, but I think a really important skill is to talk down to people. It's a really important skill to make people feel. We kind of touched on this, I suppose, in one of the other tips, but it's, you know, I saw this word come up in some YouTube video I was watching about rapport, and I listened to it, and I thought, what is that all about? You know, that is definitely something we do not want in this type of environment. And if you want to be a great leader and with poor coaching skills, do not build rapport. Do not try and connect with people or understand people at a level, you know, well, in fact, don't try and understand them at all. It's up to them to do what you tell them to do. And so, yeah, I think that's really important. Make people feel uncomfortable. Talk down to them, don't build connection with them.
Yeah, definitely. I would call it, like, you know, really, you want to focus on showing zero empathy. So no concern for their personal, professional challenges, anything like that. Keep everything strictly business, and not have no feelings. But, you know, this talking down is really, really important, because it's going to make people feel like they know where their place is. You want to make sure that they know what their place is, right? And so I think that's a really, really important thing. And part along with that comes this one-way communication, right? So don't encourage them to communicate your way at all. You really want to make sure that it's top down. And that's all that matters. And, you know, we're not interested in team building. We're not interested in having a sort of a culture where we focus on people's strengths, anything like that. We just really, really need to get the job done. And, you're leading with the firm hand, not coaching skills.
And I had written down here, no empathy actually is another tip. So we'll roll that into this one. But I think it's a really important phrase to use to really master this skill and become, like, you know, a master in this area is pull yourself together. That's a really important phrase. You know, pull yourself together and just go and get on with it. Or stop being so sensitive. You know, those are two really important phrases.
That's really great.
To master.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, I mean, tip number nine to me is one thing that we haven't really hit on at all before is, as the leader, you obviously don't want to delegate any work, right? So you're not interested in growing your people. You don't need to give them challenges. As we said, they just need to get the job done. So please refuse to delegate, because clearly you know better than anyone that no one else could do the job as well as you do, right? So if you're trying to pass it on, it's just going to be inefficient. And so definitely do not delegate.
Yeah. And I think that's really important, because it's a threat. If you delegate, it's a threat, because people might be able to do your job and therefore you're less valuable.
Yeah.
And you know, if you've got to be so careful about developing people in a way that might improve their skills, because they would then become a threat to you in your position.
100%. And you know what probably goes with that, Neil, is also, you know, as you're not delegating, you really want to stay on top of micromanaging everything, right? So be sure that people know that you're always sitting on their neck, like on their back, and or whatever the expression is, and that you assume rightfully that your team can't do anything right without you constantly oversight, like having oversight. And definitely in this, you know, part as well, for me, is to not trust them to make decisions or handle any tasks on their own.
That autonomy thing is just,
it's just overrated.
It's weakness. It's weakness. Yeah. You know, there's no way you want to be using that. So I guess.
All right. Tip number 10. We got one more.
And again, I want to kind of leave people with a really important tip that for leaders that are who want to be really poor coaches, it's vital that you never ever ask anyone for feedback. It's so important that you don't ask your boss for feedback, your team for feedback, your customers for feedback. You don't want to know whether you're doing a poor job or bad, because you know you're good enough. You know you don't, and the last thing you want is to seek feedback from anyone.
100%. And likewise for the whole team. So I wouldn't implement any like 360s or anything. Like if people ask for feedback, they'll just, as you know, they will just come up with all the stuff that's wrong about everybody. So who has time for that? I absolutely agree. Do not ever ask for feedback in any shape or form.
Yeah. So, and hopefully, you know, there's 10 tips there, but there's so many more that you could focus on if you really want to be a master. If you really want to focus on mastery in this skill of being a leader who is a poor coach. But hopefully those 10 have been useful.
Inspiring even, right?
Inspiring, yeah. And inspiring.
Affirming.
Yeah. And we hope it's got some ideas with a slightly different audience than our normal audience on this. But we'd love your feedback, obviously, of course, as usual.
Yeah. And because we're pretty bad at this being bad thing. So we would like to hear your thoughts, but only the good stuff. So don't tell us the bad stuff. Okay. Yeah. No, but it was a pleasure to come back to you with a different take on coaching skills for leaders. And we hope that you tune in again next time. Neil, it was a lot of fun. I hope you listeners know we had our tongue in our cheeks, quite literally and metaphorically speaking, and that we are here to inspire you to do all the right things. Absolutely. And maybe not what we talked about. All right.
Big part of life is having fun. So let's
absolutely
leave you with that thought. But great to see you again.
You too. Have a great rest of your day. And thank you so much for listening. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Coaching Skills for Leaders podcast with Jana and Neil. If you found the conversation useful, please share with your colleagues and friends. Please also leave us a rating and a review. And if you would like to connect with us directly to discuss your own or your business needs, you will find our contact details in the show notes below.